first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But I didn't do that. All right, well, let's be a little bit different tonight. Let me get some participation a little bit, hopefully to keep you awake. What all do you know about the Church of Corinth? Who can tell me something about the Church of Corinth? If you read your Bible, you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you can probably tell me something. Brother Jim, one thing now.
Well, they weren't growing. They were feeding on milk, and God wanted to have Paul lead them in a stronger appetite in His Word.
That's right. They were carnal and they weren't growing. All right. What else? Who else wants to share something they know about the church at Corinth? What are some of the problems that they had? They had a lot of them, didn't they? All right. Rosemary.
They were very wicked. They didn't listen to God's word.
Okay. They weren't listening. They were very busy, did you?
Wicked.
Oh, wicked. Okay. All right. Yes. There was sin definitely in amongst them. Wendy? Fornication was mentioned. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That was one of the sins. Oh, Denise?
Did they have a famine one time?
A famine?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But they did have a problem when it came to... Okay. I know they had a problem with the Lord's Supper, did they not? They were not practicing that properly. Maybe that's what you're thinking of. Anybody else? What else do we know? Brother Ron?
They were man followers. One followed Apollos, one followed Paul.
Okay, very good. Yes, they followed man. They were divided over that. They were following Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, and some said, well, I follow Christ. Anyway, what else? So a couple more things that we can find. Brother Jim.
They were doing what churches are doing today, that are following the world. They were in Corinth, an extremely wicked city.
Mm-hmm.
They were amalgamating, collaborating with that culture.
All right. Correct. Yes. Pastor?
Also, that some have not the knowledge of Christ.
All right, yeah, so they weren't very good at being a good testimony and a witness to the world, were they? All right, one more? Rita?
They were worried about eating foods that were sacrificed to the idols.
Right, yes, exactly. They had a problem with that as well. And they were still struggling over that, if something was sacrificed to idols. And what did Paul tell them about an idol? An idol is what? What did he say about that? It's nothing, is it? You know, an idol is, I mean, if it, really it could be an inanimate object, a piece of wood, a stone, whatever, you know, that's carved out into something. But, you know, they had, not everybody has that knowledge, but they as Christians should have had that knowledge and understood that. Were they a humble group? No, they were puffed up, right? A lot of pride. All right, well, the Church of Corinth had many problems. There was division. There was contention. There was carnality. There was envy. There was strife. There were sins of fornication, covetousness, idolatry. They were taking each other the law, right? And that before the unsaved. And where they should have worked those agreements out among themselves. They were puffed up with pride. They prided themselves in their wisdom, did they not? And their gift to speak. They were talented. They were glorying in man and in the flesh. And when assembled together, Paul said they didn't come together for the benefit of each other. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:17, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Imagine that if, you know, our church, we come together here and we don't come together for the benefit of each other, but we come together and it's really... Why do we even come together? It's confusion and there's division and contentions and carnality and envy. That shouldn't be. There were problems as they partook of the supper, and Paul had to rebuke them as well as for that as they partook in the Lord's Supper. All right, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. As I read through this, I believe one of their main problems was pride and the glory of man. They were very proud, and they were very puffed up. And I think what Paul here, and I call this Paul's dispute with them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verses 1 through 5 tonight. And then I just have 3 points this evening: Paul's determination, his disposition, and his design. And we'll take a look at that tonight. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Father, help me tonight. I pray, Father, that this message would be an encouragement and help to us, not to rely on our own strength, but to just to rely on the power of God. Father, we're thankful that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And Father, help us to be a witness. Father, we preached a few weeks ago about the parable of the pound, and it could very well represent that each and every one of us have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we need to be a witness for you, and we need to be telling people about the good news that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And Father, we shouldn't try to do it with some trickery or anything like that, but Father, just a simple plan of salvation, that is that Jesus Christ is the person of salvation and that people need to put their faith and trust in him. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplish here tonight. We ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to first of all see his determination. He says here, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul's first priority was to preach the gospel to those at Corinth. The people there obviously prided themselves in their wisdom and the glory of man. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He deals with this quite a bit here in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Okay, so he was telling them there when he came to them, first of all, his determination was just to preach the simple gospel to them. And he didn't try to do it with enticing words of man's wisdom. That was his determination, to see them come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Do you see that? Do you see how he's dealing with them? This is a proud people here. They're wicked people, but they've gotten saved. Many of them have gotten saved, and they still had a lot of learning to do. And Paul is telling them when his determination, when he first came to them, was not, it wasn't in man's wisdom, and it wasn't in man's words. It was in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Paul simply trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of God's word as he gave the message. And that's what you and I need to do as well. You know, when we go out there, and I've heard all different kinds of people, all different kinds of ways people try to lead somebody to Christ. You know, it just amazes me sometimes of the things that people try to do. Listen, we need to be persuasive and so forth, but we just need to preach the Word of God, preach the gospel, and give them the scriptures. And God will do his work. Paul knew a bunch more than just the gospel, did he not? Paul was a pretty intelligent man. By the way, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he all the studying he did under Gamaliel, I guess it was, and so forth. Paul knew the law. Paul knew the Bible very well. In fact, as he wrote the scriptures, he often quoted a lot of the Old Testament and so forth. Paul was with the Lord Jesus Christ and taught the word and revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew quite a bit. He knew more than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But it was his first priority to present the gospel unto them, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. So he's seen his determination. That's what he was determined to do wherever he went. He was determined to give them the gospel. Remember what he said in Romans 1:16, I think it is? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Wherever he went, he preached the gospel. Secondly, his disposition. I want you to see this in verse 3. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul's explaining here how he felt about himself when he was with them. Weak, fearful, and even trembling. It's used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts his own abilities but does his utmost to fill his spiritual duties. How about it? Do you ever fearful talking to people? You know, and I still remember the first time I went door-to-door visitation. I was hoping nobody would answer the door that I went to. I think I was very fearful and very nervous about it. But I want you to realize something else. First of all, Paul was just like you and I are. In fact, he asked in Ephesians, he asked for prayer for boldness so that he would speak as he ought to speak. But remember this, Paul knew a little something about persecution, did he not? You know, he never knew what was going to happen to him as he went from city to city, did he? And I'm sure there was some fear, but his trust was in the Lord, amen? But he said, I was with you in weakness. In other words, he wasn't trusting his own strength, his own power. Do you realize you and I are nothing without God's power, without God's Holy Spirit? And he was fearful and even trembling, he said. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, you don't need to turn there, but listen to this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What do you think that means? Well, I believe it means this. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. It's in an earthen vessel. This is just a body, an earthen vessel. We're made out of the dust of the ground, are we not? We're nothing. And Paul's really trying to teach these folks, hey, listen, you have nothing to be boasting about and be proud about. He goes, I came to you not with excellency of speech. They prided themselves in that. It says in utterance and so forth. But Paul was just teaching them, listen, Don't depend upon what you can do. Depend upon the power of God. Depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. We have this treasure, he says, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, he says. Okay, so every one of us needs to realize this. Listen, we do need to get the gospel out. But it's not us. We're co-laborers with God, right, Brother Jim? We talk about that different times. You know, all we need to do is plant and water, and God's the one who will give the increase. But you and I are nothing without God. Here he says in 2 Corinthians 6:4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults, in labors and watching and fasting. Paul, no wonder Paul feared. But he had trust in God. Listen, why does God tell us not to fear? Kind of the same reason he tells us not to worry. Because we know he knows we're prone to that. Listen, don't tell me you never fear, because you know, it's hard to even get people out going door to door, or even just get people to give out tracts, because we're fearful what somebody else might say. I'm still like that. Thank the Lord, by God's grace, I've been doing a little better about being a witness for the Lord. Brother Don Bartow and I went to the bank this past week. I forget what day it was. But I sat there with Brother Bartow and with one of the bankers, and I thought to myself, I ought to give this young man a gospel tract. And when we were all done, I said, I gave him a gospel tract. You know, and it's like, is that so hard to do? But yet, we don't always do it, do we? And I know some of us are better than that than others, but I thank God that I was able to do that. Because, you know, I don't always do what I should do. And it bothers me. And Paul is just saying here, you know, thank the Lord, we don't have to worry about that just yet, do we? If I give out a gospel tract, do I have to worry about, do I have to fear about getting thrown into prison? No. I don't have to fear those things. But, you know, when Paul spoke, he had to fear what might happen to him. He was stoned and so forth, and you know, he had to be let down in a basket. I forget what where that was again, but to escape. It says in 2 Corinthians 7:5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Paul knew what it was to possibly be persecuted for preaching the gospel. And by the way, when he went into the city of Corinth, very wicked area, you think he had some fears about that? Some fear and trembling? I mean, Paul was bold, but yet he prayed for boldness. And when he got up to speak, I'm sure he was concerned, but his trust was in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:1, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. And then it says in verse 10 of the same chapter there, they said this of him, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. You see that? Paul, by the way, can you be a little bit more bold when you write a letter? And when you're facing somebody and speaking to them, you can, right? And that's why we need to be careful sometimes with emails and letters and stuff like that. We can be a whole lot more bold in those types of things than we can when we're facing somebody face to face. But he said his speech contemptible. You know, I don't know what kind of orator Paul was, but it doesn't really matter. He trusted in God, and that was his disposition. In Galatians 4:13, he says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first? And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So we see Paul's determination, and then we see his disposition as he's with them. Thirdly, I want us to see his design. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Here's why. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul did not want them to trust in the wisdom of man. He wanted them to trust in the power of God. I realize each and every one of us must be empty of ourselves and let God and His Word, which is far more powerful than anything we have to say. That's something I'm trying very much to do, is not rely on my own strength or in anything that I have to say. Listen, God's Word is powerful. Whether it be in a gospel tract, whether it be as you speak it, I still remember years ago an evangelist told me this. He said, you know, just get the sword out and wave it around. What he meant by that was, in witnessing, just open up your Bible if you have to and read to them the Word of God. Read to them the gospel. You know, you can, I remember being taught how to go through the Romans Road, and one of the things I was taught was, is to get them to see it for themselves. Get them to open their Bible, or take your Bible and get next to them and say, now look what it says here. It says here, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is," and you stop. And you reel them in, and they look at that, "death. But the gift of God is eternal life." You know, just get the Bible out and show them the Scriptures. Paul didn't try to persuade them with anything, any kind of persuasive or enticing words that he had. But he was relying on the power of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you and I need to do as well. Hebrews 4:12 says this, very familiar verse to each and every one of us probably here tonight. The Word of God is what? Quick. It's alive. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we do need to just get the Word of God out. Open our Bibles and show them. Give them gospel tracts. Listen, I've told it over and over, but many people get saved reading gospel tracts. I was saved through reading a gospel tract. I know God's Simple Plan of Salvation, they had put out a pamphlet one time of all the different people that have written into them saying that they got saved and so forth. Many tract companies or tract ministries, I should say, not companies. If it's a company, it's probably not worth anything. But if it's a ministry, in other words, it shouldn't be for making money, right? It ought to be getting the gospel out. But many of them report of people writing to them saying that they read a gospel tract and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now listen, I know even that can be scary. We can even be fearful, but we need to give out gospel tracts. And you know, sometimes we get these wrong ideas in our mind, think, well, they probably got one already. But you know what? There are a lot of people who have never gotten a gospel tract yet. And you remember the testimony of Brother Chitty? How many remember his testimony? Pastor Gehrig's and so forth? Yeah. He was at a grocery store, right? Working, I think, or something like that. And people just kept giving him gospel tracts, or am I thinking of another person? But over and over, those kind of things happen. So let's not give up on them. And as we pray and ask God for boldness, let us tell people about the gospel as well. Be a witness to them. Listen to what Isaiah 49, verse 2 says. "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. Polished shaft in his quiver hath he hid me. The words there, like a sharp sword, describe the power and energy of Christ's word and doctrine. God's word is sharp. It's powerful. When Christ preached, his word was like a sharp sword, piercing men's conscience and revealing their innermost thoughts. And the same power he gives through the Holy Spirit to his servants to preach the gospel in its simplicity and purity. But they who think they make it attractive to sinners by clothing it with enticing words of man's wisdom destroy its living energy and make it dead and powerless for the salvation of the soul. Listen, I've known people to use all kinds of tricks to try and get people. I know Pastor has told some of them. I knew when I was in another church, there was somebody that came in one time, I think an evangelist, somebody who really was supposedly good at winning souls, but they used trickery. I mean, it's you know, listen, God will do the work. You and I just need to be faithful in giving the pure word of God out to them and depending upon the Holy Spirit of God to work in hearts and lives. And God will do the work. Now I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can hold your, or we're probably done in there. 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, we're done there. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's see. And let's look at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 2, 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of in guile. But we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. By the way, every one of us who's saved have been allowed of God and been put in trust with the gospel. I want us to realize that, and that's why we need to use it. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time, he said, use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, or we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Listen, Paul's design was this, to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God, to simply preach the gospel of God, and God would do a work. Now that's not so of false teachers. I want us to listen to this. 2 Peter 2:17 says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak, verse 18 of 2 Peter 2, great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Listen, there are a lot of false teachers out there. Great orators, great speakers, and so forth. And like he says, allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness. What's the other words I read there? Speak great swelling words of vanity. Listen, it's not you and me, folks. It's the power of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Paul's design in preaching the gospel was simply according to the Scriptures. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Listen, Paul just used the Scriptures, didn't he? That's what he's saying, according to the Scriptures. He says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He didn't try to entice people into believing with man's wisdom, did he? He just used the Scriptures. And that's what you and I need to do. Listen, I don't know anybody in here that's puffed up and proud and think that, oh man, I'm a great soul winner and I'm a great speaker. I really know how to talk and so forth. Listen, probably every one of us would probably say, you know what? I could do a better job of trying to get the gospel out. Listen, we just need to remember that it's not us. Our determination is just to preach the gospel to those that are lost. And our disposition can be one of fear. But let us just trust God. Okay? And let the results up to God. You know, we don't have to try and jam it down their throats or anything like that. In fact, I think we do more harm when we do that. If we just, you know, let God, let the Holy Spirit give them time to work. Just give them the gospel. And if they're ready to trust Christ, great, wonderful. But if they're not, just wait on the Holy Spirit to work on them. Wait on the Word of God to do its work in the heart and life of a person. And then the design, again, is just the idea that we're not going to use enticing words of man's wisdom. It's not you and I that do it. It's the power of God's Word. And that's what we need to do. How about it, folks? Can we give out more gospel tracts than what we've been giving out? I know I can. Would you pray for me? Paul said, pray for boldness. Listen, our world is really hurting, isn't it? And we have the answer. It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not hide it. Let's not hold it up into a napkin, if you will, like some of the parables talk about. Let's not hide it under a bushel. We are the light of the world. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word of God. Let's give it out. Let's give out gospel tracts. Let me encourage you to do that. And by the way, let's get in our Bibles for ourselves so that we know how to answer every man. Because people are going to have questions. And we're going to surprise them with our wisdom and our knowledge of man's wisdom? No. Let's just give them the Bible. Give them God's answers. That's where the real power is. We need to do that just like Paul did. All right? I hope that helps you. And again, pray for me as I pray for you that we would have boldness and that we'd be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your help this evening. Father, we really need you. We need you to work in our hearts and lives. We need to be in your Word, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not like those that were in Corinth, and maybe they turned things around, I don't know. But Father, I realize that they were carnal because they were puffed up and they were glorifying in man and glorifying in the wisdom and the utterances and so forth they had. And Father, it was just, Paul had to really rebuke them in his first letter. In the second letter, he seemed to calm down a little bit, so to speak. Father, we need you, and I pray you'd help us to have boldness, to be a witness for you. Help us to give out the gospel. And may we just wait upon the Holy Spirit and depend upon the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, maybe we should close in a song. 651. 600.